This is a part of the man you will lean on every single day. So let's slow down and get the shape of it right before we look at any examples. Almost everything a customer says back to you, whether it sounds friendly or hostile or bored, breaks down into the same four moves. And if you learn the shape, you can handle things that aren't written down anywhere in this book. Step one is acknowledge. You repeat what they said back to them without arguing. Something like, fair enough, or that makes sense, or I hear that a lot. Three words is plenty. And here's the part people mess up constantly. Never follow it with the word but. The second you say but, you've told them the acknowledgement was fake. Step two is isolate. And this is the step new reps skip, which is exactly why it's the most important one. You ask one question that finds the real reason behind what they just said. Something like, can I ask, is that about the cost or is it about the timing? People rarely object to the thing they say out loud. They object to something underneath it. And your job is to find out what that is before you respond to anything. Step three is reframe. Now that you actually know the real concern, you answer that, not the surface words they led with. Keep it short. And step four is re-ask. You ask for the exact same small thing you asked for before you got the objection. Not a bigger ask, and just as important, not a smaller one either. Shrinking your ask tells the customer you've already given up on them. One more piece of the shape before we get into example. There are two different kinds of pushback, and they need two different speeds. Blocking objections show up in the first 10 seconds of the call. These are reflexes. The person hasn't heard your offer yet, so they're not rejecting it. They're rejecting being interrupted. Handle those fast and light with one quick question, nothing heavier. Real objections come later after they've actually engaged, and those reflect genuine concerns about money or trust or timing or fit. Those get the full four-step treatment. If you run the heavy four-step version on a reflex objection in the first 10 seconds, you will sound like you're arguing with someone who hasn't even heard your pitch yet. Now the printed chapter has the complete list of everything customers say. Well over 100 variations across 10 different categories. I'm going to walk you through one example from each category here, just to show you the pattern in action, but you'll want the full written reference on hand for the rest. Start with the reflexive brush-offs, the stuff people say in the first 10 seconds before they know anything about you. Someone says, I'm not interested. That's said before they've heard a word of your pitch. It's pure reflex. You say something like, totally fair, most people say that before they know what it's about. 20 seconds and you can tell me it's a no. Sound okay? Light, quick, no argument. Moving to money and price. Someone says that's too expensive. Here's the key thing to remember about price objections. They almost never mean the number itself is too high. They usually mean the person doesn't yet see enough value to justify any number at all. So you isolate. I hear that. When you say expensive, is that compared to what you're spending now, or compared to doing nothing at all? That question alone tells you which conversation you're actually in. Next, timing and stalls. Someone says, let me think about it. A stall isn't a no, but it also isn't a yes, and accepting a vague one is the worst thing you can do with your time. So you say, of course, just so I know what to send over, what part are you thinking about? Usually it's price, timing, or whether it'll actually work. You're not letting the stall stay vague. You're turning it into either a real date or an honest no, and both of those are useful to you. Then there's authority, figuring out who actually decides. Someone says, I need to talk to my partner. Sometimes that's completely real, especially in a small business. You say, absolutely, that's how it should work. What do you think they'll want to know? I'd rather help you answer that than have you go in cold. You're not trying to get around them. You're trying to help them win the internal conversation. Trust and skepticism is its own category, and it matters a lot if you're calling from somewhere unfamiliar to the person on the other end. Someone says this sounds like a scam. The right instinct here is never defensiveness. It's over-disclosure, because scammers volunteer nothing. You say, I understand why I did say that. There's a lot of it going around. I'm not going to ask you for a payment, a card number, or any account information on this call. If I ever do, hang up on me. That kind of specificity is what actually calms someone down. Next, the incumbent, when someone already has a provider. They say we already have someone. The one rule here is never attack the current provider, because criticizing their choice just tells them they were stupid. And people defend their own decisions harder than they defend any vendor. Instead, you ask about the relationship. Good, that tells me you take it seriously. What's working well with them? And is there anything you wish were different? The gap surfaces on their own if you just ask. Then there's the no need category, the status quo objection, which is genuinely the hardest one because the customer isn't wrong from where they're standing. Someone says we don't need that. You can't argue someone into needing something. You can only ask questions until they notice the gap themselves, or you accept there isn't one and move on. Both are fine outcomes. So you say you might not. Plenty of companies don't. Can I ask one question and then I'll know for sure? And then you ask the specific discovery question for that business. Technology and AI objections come up constantly if what you're selling involves automation. Someone says, I don't trust AI. The fear underneath that is almost always about control, or about losing the human touch, or about looking foolish for trusting something they don't understand. So you address the fear, not the technology. That's fair, and honestly, I'd rather you be skeptical than not. What specifically worries you? Accuracy, or the idea of something running without you watching it? Hostile and difficult calls need their own rules entirely. Because you're not trying to win those calls. That call is already over. There are four rules that match their energy. Lower your volume instead of raising it. Don't defend yourself or your company. There's no winning that exchange. Give them a clean exit and take it. And remember, you are always allowed to end the call. Nobody will ever criticize you for hanging up on abuse. If someone's yelling or cursing at you say, I can hear I've caught you at a bad time. I'm going to let you go. Sorry to have bothered you. And then you end the call. No arguing back. No repeated apologizing. The hard-to-read customer is its own trap, because these calls feel harmless, but they quietly eat your whole day. Someone says, sure, sounds good, but there's no energy behind it at all. That's usually a soft no dressed up as a yes. You say, I'll take that as a maybe rather than a yes. What's the part you're not sold on? You're forcing a real answer instead of letting a fake yes sit in your pipeline for 3 weeks. And finally, buying signals. The moment things are actually going well, which new reps miss constantly because they keep pitching past it. Someone asks, can I see it? That's a strong signal. The single most expensive mistake in phone sales is continuing to sell after the customer has already decided to buy. So the second you hear a signal like that, you stop talking about the product and start talking about logistics. You say, absolutely, I've got Thursday at 2 or Friday at 10. Which is better? You ask for the business. That's the shape of the whole chapter. Run through all 10 categories in miniature. Again, the printed chapter had the complete list of everything customers say. Well over 100 entries with the exact wording for each one. And that's the version you want next to you between calls, not this one. This is just enough to show you that no matter how strange the send sounds coming through the headset, it's almost always one of these 10 shapes wearing a different outfit. Acknowledge it, isolate the real concern, reframe around that concern, and ask again for the exact same small thing you asked for the first time.